And I hope we have on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
The rabbi has come.
The rabbi is here.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine.
That was a beautiful song that you put just before I'm coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, I found it from one of the old. It's one of the oldies. It's from the 40s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, Yiddish over there was the prominent language. I mean, you know, everyone was speaking it.
Yeah.
I just heard, you know, the first couple of lines, you know, the hour is late and the rabbi is coming.
And that's the story of your life.
That's the story of my life. Always running, but that's a good thing. Thank God.
So if we're talking about stories, we have Parshat HaShavua.
That's right. We have the Parshat Naso, which is this week's Torah portion. It's the second Torah portion in the fourth book of Moses, of Bamidbar. And, you know, we complete the head count of the children of Israel taken in the Sinai Desert. And there was a total of a little over 8,500 Levite men between the ages of 30 and 50, who are counted in a tally of those who will be doing the actual work of transporting the Mishkan, the tabernacle.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as we also see later on that God communicates to Moses the law of the Sotah, the wayward wife suspected of unfaithfulness to her husband. Also given is the law of Nazir, who forswears wine, lets his or her hair grow long, and is forbidden to become contaminated through contact with a dead body. As well as we see that the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel each bring their offerings for the inauguration of the altar. And although their gifts are identical, each is brought on a different day and is individually described by the Torah. It doesn't just say that there were 12 gifts, there are 12 individual gifts, and what the gifts were. It's interesting because we know we see that the 12 tribes, the tribal princes is what they really refer to, of Israel got together to plan their donations to the tabernacle. And these were the most wealthy and influential Jews of their generation and uniquely privileged to represent their tribe and duly appreciative of this honor, obviously. In addition to their donations on behalf of their constituencies, on behalf of their tribes, they decided to personally donate the wagons used to transport the walls of the tabernacle through the desert. And between them, they put together enough money to buy 6 wagons, is what it says in the Gemara and the Talmud. And on the face of it, it looks really ridiculous. If you do the math, as the Talmud does, each of these wagons would be overloaded with huge beams of wood that would need to be stacked so high that would have been, impossible really
to
the extreme, just to move off the spot.
Yeah.
So surely it would have been far easier to buy more wagons and transport the lot, in relative ease.
To split it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not as if the princesses were struggling financially. They could have easily doubled their donation and paid for a whole wagon each, meaning 12. Surely one could expect, you know, a higher standard from the princes of Israel. So why live life on the cheap if you can afford to travel in style?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was reading it, I'm like, this is a phenomenal question. It's a phenomenal challenge that people on a regular day have. And if we think about it, the possibilities are endless. You know, let's think about how busy people can be. You know, some people play solitary, you know, on the computer, and others, you know, frequent blogs. And it's really scary to consider how much time is being wasted every moment of the day. By us going, you know, online, what percentage of our average day would we consider productive? You know, in contrast to the hours spent, you know, watching videos, TV, checking our emails and our WhatsApp and our Facebook and our Twitter, and running, you know, so many times to the coffee machine, is really taking all these unnecessary steps. And it's very easy, it is too easy, really, to live life relaxed, doing just enough to get by but not really working up a sweat. We're all guilty of occasional, you know, laziness and need constant reminders that time isn't just sitting still and waiting for us to get going. No, time's moving. And that's really the point of the Torah, and I think what is trying to be made over here is that if you can somehow manage to load the whole cargo onto 6 wagons, you have no right to spread it out over 12. The extra weight might be a burden, yet we have hidden reservoirs of strength helping us maintain the load. Because the purpose of our creation, really, if you think about it, is to serve God. And we dare not lay off from the job for even, you know, even a second. And we each have our own gifts and abilities that only I have been granted. And if I slack off, the entire world will be poorer from my, you know, idleness, from me doing nothing. There's a job that has to be done that only you and only I can do it. If we're not up to the effort, we're letting really the whole side down. So by living life to the fullest, piling on the pressure and welcoming the strain, we justify really the gift that is life. You know, people, there are certain people that are procrastinators. Certain people that, you know, somehow for one person to get, I'm just giving examples, to write a paper, a document, will take one person an hour. Another person will take 3 days. Because he starts to write, he gets to go here, and he gets to start. He can't focus on that. And what do they say? You know, the famous expression, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. That's really the way that we, and Maimonides, the Rambam, writes that we have to live every day to the fullest, that this is the last day of our life on this world. Because we don't know what's going to be. So to give up and say, well, I can't really do it, I'll do it a different time, that is something that the Torah is teaching us. And that's why the princesses, yes, they could afford it. But why should they spread it out over more if they can do it in 6? And that's something that I think is so important in our daily life and in our, you know, in our relationships, in our business, in our kids' lives, and even in our work ethic, how we can be able to do to be able to become better people and make this world a better place.
And Rabbi, what about services in Shabbat?
So we have services. Friday evening is at 7 o'clock. Shabbat morning is at 9:30. And Sunday morning, obviously, is a community meeting held at the Shar, followed by breakfast at Sunday morning at 8:15. And Monday and Thursday is at the Paris House in the JCC right attached to the JCC, where we have the community minion on Monday and Thursday at 7:15 in the morning. What a wonderful way to start your day. You're out by 8 and off to the office. It's an inspiring time to start like that, and it really gives you the energy to start the day.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom.
You too, and have a wonderful week, and I look forward to talking next week.
Thank you, same here.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.